Hello and welcome to PHP Alive and Kicking. This is episode 29 and I'm Mike and my co-host is Chris.
Hello.
He seems to be breathing rather heavily down his microphone.
This happens a lot.
This podcast is brought to you by PHP Architect and made better by our partners at Displace, but more about them later. We explore the latest developments in PHP and what it's like to earn a living in PHP today. Today is a live show, so do come and join us in our Discord. We welcome questions as we go along. We have a guest that will love as many questions as you guys can come up with, all related hopefully to PHP, please. We'll stick to one subject. Also, if you're watching this on YouTube, please do give us a quick like and a thumbs up. If you're listening to the audio, do head over to our YouTube channel at PHP Arch and like and subscribe. We also publish a monthly magazine all around PHP and the world of web development. We have a discount for our lucky listeners. Alive 3 will give you the first 3 months of a digital annual subscription. So go along and get your free episodes. It's packed full of all sorts of articles. And you could just learn so much. Now, another hot topic we've got to talk about is tech. Chris is just nodding because he is actually muted for something. PHP Tech is not far away.
No.
It is a matter of weeks. So it'd be great to see as many people there as possible. There are some tickets still available. Also, I believe there might still be a few rooms left at the hotel under our package. Do get in that before that all runs out. I'm sure Eric or John will jump in the chat in Discord and let us know if I was wrong on that and if we've actually sold out of those. But the first time we are running alongside PHP Tech, JS Tech, which is going to be a conference track that is all geared around JavaScript. So if you're a JavaScript developer or you know some JavaScript developers, get them along too. The great thing is if you buy a ticket for either of those conferences, you can jump into any of those tracks. JS Tech is just another track running in the same hotel, just in the rooms next door to where we'll be running PHP Tech. Next thing, swag. Don't forget to check out our store. We've got loads of swag, loads of t-shirts and caps and hats and cups, all with all cool designs, all geared around the magazine and PHP. So go give those a quick check. Before we do bring in the guest, I had to compose myself just before that countdown finished because in the private chat, Chris sent a message saying, "I don't know why I can hear the music echoing," and then realized he had YouTube open.
Yes, which makes it worse because there's that delay. So I was hearing it twice, just a little bit behind itself.
So I had to compose myself. And after all the technical issues you had last time, I wasn't around last time. I wasn't able to join the show. I had a conflict. But yes, I leave you for one episode and it goes to pot.
Yeah, but I did try and call in help, and let's be honest, it's Eric who has his own technical issues.
Okay, I personally would probably call someone like Joe rather than Eric in.
But Joe was on holiday.
Oh, he was, you're right, he wasn't around. Even Frank then.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I was thinking about Archie.
That'd be interesting. That'd be very interesting. Considering Archie alerted you of your own podcast is going live.
Yeah. Archie chat. Told me that there was a podcast due in 30 minutes that I'm hosting.
If you don't know what Archie is, a bot that we have in our Discord channel, and you can get Archie to let you know when there's a show going live with what, 30 minutes beforehand. I know why Joe wasn't around. He was already in Chicago.
He was. He was scoping out the conference and several hockey matches.
Check out the come join us in chat in our Discord channel. So I suppose our poor guest is now sitting in the back just listening to me ramble on about all sorts of rubbish. I suppose we better bring him out.
I think we should. I mean, we did invite her on. Yeah. I mean, we've all met her before. Did. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hello.
So we're back here again. What, 4 weeks since the last one?
Yes, it's been, I've missed you all. So, you know, thank you for having me back.
But it works, because last time you were on, the questions just kept coming and kept coming. So let's hope that happens again. We're relying on Joe to just ask questions. On, you know.
Yeah, just Joe. He just keeps asking.
Yeah, I'm sure Joe's got a few questions up his sleeve. We asked him to prepare.
Yay, we have Tiffany with us.
Hi, Tiffany.
Hey, Tiffany.
I'm watching on YouTube. Come and join us in Discord. I'm sure you're already in our Discord channel. I thought you were.
I think
anyway.
She is somewhere. And just in case you're not, let's find that link again. There you go.
Yeah, come and join us in Discord. So, Elizabeth, we had you on. Was it 4 weeks ago now, or was it five?
Has it been 4 weeks?
I should have actually checked and looked remembered how long it was. So when you were on last time, you had only just been in your new role for a matter of weeks, quite fresh, and you were in a mode of discovery, going around talking to as many people as possible.
Yeah.
About the foundation and what you guys can do to support the community. Now I saw you published a blog post. Those are the words just do not seem to be coming to my mouth. They're in my
head.
They're
hard.
You did a blog post about a week ago, I think it was, or 2 weeks ago. Just sort of summering. I don't even think that actually a word. Chris, will you hurry up and take over? I'm drowning here.
So what Mike was trying to say was, you wrote a blog post about a week ago summarizing your findings.
that's the word.
I did, yes. Summarizing. I sure did.
I do think we should now call it summering, though. That just summering
is better, right? It's more concise. It's you're leaving out a whole, what, syllable? I mean, it's quicker, it's better.
Yeah. So what were your findings? What did you discover from the community?
There's a lot.
There's
a lot. I have it pulled up. Should I share my screen if you all want to see it?
Yeah, let's give it a go. Let's see if we can bring that up.
Here's a word of caution. My internet is weird today because it's very windy here. And so if I get disconnected, I'll come right back. Don't worry. I promise I will. Let's see. Here we go. I'm going to share the markdown version because the other version is not very easy to read because I'm not a designer. So I used a Canva template, which I should have known better. I could have made them better, but it has been remedied in this format as a, as a markdown file. So, so there was really four buckets of feedback that I got. Some was around the foundation itself about, you know, us and our transparency and nobody knows what we're doing, which is fair. It was about marketing of PHP itself, like how people view PHP. The third one was about, you know, just our community and things that maybe the foundation can do to help. And then the last one was about the actual technology, the PHP, the language itself. So that was pretty much it. There was a lot. And I was really glad, you know, if people didn't have anything to say, that's a whole different problem. Right. Like that's a whole other thing. So I was glad that people had a lot to say. Oh, actually, yeah. You know what? I can drop this in a chat somewhere if there's a chat.
If you drop it in.
Have you got Discord open? If not, you can put it in our private chat and we'll copy it over.
I do have it open. Let's see if I can figure this out. Where should I put it? In the show?
If you put it in general on our Discord.
Just general? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want people to be confused. Like, what is that?
Okay.
So,
and anybody that isn't watching is now going to go and read it to find out what it is.
There we go. That's the goal. It's just to pepper them with information enough to spark interest. I'm happy to go through any of these, all of these. I don't know like how much time we want to spend on it, but I'm happy to kind of go through whatever.
One that stands out to me is, what did you find out about newcomer experience?
Great question. Let's go down here. I have a specific right here. There we go. These were the four kind of top things that floated to the top. One was about onboarding experience. Some people do not realize that Discord is a thing that they can access for help, or their local user group meetups, their other places, Reddit, other places that help is offered and provided. And some people don't realize that. And so they're kind of floating around, and there really isn't a consistent or a central place for a brand new person to find all of those channels, really. There's a few listed on the website, but I don't know how comprehensive that is. So that was something that was brought to my attention. And even if it is listed on the website, it might not be visible for folks, because that seems to be the thing that people were commenting on, is that it's, you know, kind of hard to figure out where to find help. And, you know, the onboarding path, it isn't a good place for people to start. So the manual, which I talk about in other slides, the manual is great and awesome, but it assumes a base level of knowledge when you get there. And so there's a gap between someone who is brand new and someone who is using the manual as a reference. And so there are various efforts to fill that gap, but it's really not very clear where people should go. And then the setup, installing PHP, installing what you need to everything you need at once can be tricky and complicated. And then again, there's no real central place to get help. It's, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's going on. It's just like trying to wrangle it together in one place. I think that's a lot of our issue, is that it's just a big community and it's very spread out and very fragmented. So trying to kind of bring folks together in one place is tricky. It's tricky. And, you know, back in when Twitter was a thing more than it is now, before it was X, like that was the place. Like everybody kind of, you know, connected with each other on Twitter. That was a good place. But now, you know, we've kind of fragmented ourselves with good reason. You know, it also happens that, you know, we're a big community, so people find their little sub communities, but it would be good if those resources for newcomers were better, were improved. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe that's something that the foundation can help with, help with documentation for newcomers, helping them find the resources they're looking for. You know, the setup experience, we've talked about that internally in the foundation, just from the like downloads page and things, trying to help people help the barrier there be a lot lower.
Yeah. It is interesting that there's a lot of the stuff in existence, but finding that seems to be a big problem. And I don't quite know how that's different to other languages, but it just seems to be easier to find beginner level, like complete beginner level for JavaScript or Python. And I mean, we know it exists in PHP. We've all done it at some point in time. Although I tend to agree with what Joe said. That's because PHP is so easy, we don't need these things.
I mean, I do remember talking about this last time, about the, and how I felt when I came to PHP. And I'll be honest, I don't don't even remember where I learned, like, the first resource I used to learn, but I couldn't use the docs because I didn't have that understanding of computer programming as a base. I was coming into PHP really fresh. There was nothing that's teaching you those basics using PHP.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what it was that I found and how I started learning, but I did. I wish I do remember what it was. And it wasn't actually that long ago, to be honest. But I completely understand. To bring in new people, the docs are... I found the docs... I didn't understand the docs back then when I first started. Yeah. Because I didn't have that fundamental understanding of computer programming. I do feel that there could be something that could bridge that gap somehow. I think we talked about it before about resources that teach fundamentals of programming using PHP rather than JavaScript, which is really popular. Like, most of the boot camps are all JavaScript boot camps. That's all you learn, or Python. I've seen like adverts for a Python app an app that teaches you Python, like a game on or something. It keeps popping up on YouTube every time I go onto YouTube, in front of every video I ever watch. So there's stuff that's out there for the other languages. I don't see that for PHP, and I think that's something.
And it does seem to be a natural progression with some of these languages that aren't PHP to go from the basic building blocks of join this block to that block to the next step up, and PHP doesn't appear to have that yet, and it's something that we could do. And I just think it's interesting that we're in a position where we can talk about, okay, the language is stable, now we can worry about how to get people into it. And Tiffany also said for her the routine was Room 11 Stack Overflow. It was her introduction to the PHP community and got a lot of help back in the day. Yes, I remember Stack Overflow being a brilliant place for PHP. And she also agrees with you. She's not a designer, but she did write a checklist of stuff to help newcomers out way back when, but a bit outdated now and not styled because she's not a designer.
I think that's the other key, is that a lot of the resources that are out there have not been updated as the language has evolved. Trying to keep up with all of those resources and all of the changes, that's a big job. And so, you know, just having a more concerted effort around that and support around that, I think would be helpful.
Yeah, and I think that's where companies that have got a place in the community, if only we knew one of those PHP architects, could help by producing things to help with this process. And I think part of it is knowing what to produce. I mean, with our team, we've got literally expert developers on basically everything to do with PHP. And we happen to have a mobile developer as well as other things. We could help to build something. And perhaps that's a conversation to have at some point.
Yeah, I mean, the community is not... there is no lack of experience and expertise, I think, in our community. I think it's just needs a little coordination, that this piece of that just needs a little coordination of resources, and creating something that then becomes kind of the status quo, or like that's the place where you go, and there's just like one place, and then wherever that place is, then you can go off into different communities, different resources, whatever. But there really needs to be like that landing page. So maybe it's part of the website, maybe it's, I don't know what, repurposing some of the website to be that central kind of just doorway for newcomers to come through, and then figure out what, you know, the choose your own adventure journey, like where they go next. But yeah, definitely to your point, there's a lot of folks out there who know what they're talking about. And also, I think something that's so cool about the PHP community is that this willingness to share knowledge is such a thread throughout. It's such a part of the PHP culture, I think, is that people genuinely want to share their knowledge. They genuinely want to help other people, especially newcomers. And so how do we capitalize that and or capitalize on that and make that more visible and make it more coordinated, and really, really, just bring that to the forefront.
And with one of the recent people joining the foundation, Matt Stafer, that kind of becomes a very easy access point. He has a following that exceeds any of us.
Yeah, he's rad.
Is there anybody in the PHP world that is not following Matt Stafer somewhere?
Right, right. If not, they should be. He's a great guy.
So Joe has a question for you. Elizabeth, you've been on the job about 2 months. Are things settling down into a rhythm yet, or are you still meeting and greeting everyone?
Things have settled down. I am also, though, still meeting and greeting people, but the volume has slowed. So that's okay. I'm okay with that. But yeah, I'm still chatting with people. People are still dropping meetings on my calendar, which I love. So, you know, that will always be open, I think, at least for the foreseeable future, because it really is not unmanageable. And I really want to be accessible, and I want to listen to people and understand what they struggle with. Because I don't think I can do my job very well if I don't know what those things are. And you know, what the foundation can possibly do about that. So yes, it has settled down a little. I'm starting to kind of figure things out a little more of like where things are. And I'm currently taking all these findings and building out strategy of like, what do we do first? This is a big, long list of things. So what should we be working on first? And it really just kind of planning out the rest of the year and then into 2027. There's so many good ideas floating out there about things that we can do about these these issues and these findings. Mm-hmm. So that's another piece of it. I'm kind of collecting ideas, and we'll sort out, you know, kind of what's going to be the most viable and will provide the most impact for bang for your buck, I guess you could say, the most impact. So that's currently what I'm working on right now. And that will be part two of the blog post. Mm-hmm. So
awesome.
Cool.
Sounds like we need to have you on again in about 4 weeks' time.
Probably, yeah. Well, although I'm going on vacation, so maybe 5 or 6 weeks, because I'm going to be going on vacation.
No, it would be good to. We've talked to slightly about this in messaging about trying to do a regular thing with you, which would be good. On that note, we have to mention our partners for today's show. So we'll just jump over to them for a moment.
Yes, please.
Thank you to our partners over at Displaced Technologies. Building PHP applications is your passion. Managing cloud infrastructure shouldn't be your headache. Displaced is your partner in cloud infrastructure orchestration, giving solo developers and small teams the tools and automation to deploy enterprise-grade Kubernetes clusters without the enterprise-grade complexity or cost. Their CLI tool streamlines everything from local development to fully managed cloud deployments on AWS, Azure, Google Cloud Platform, and more. Skip the steep learning curve of Docker, Kubernetes, and Terraform. Let their automation free you to focus on your core business without losing control of your infrastructure. Get started at displace.tech. That's displace.tech. And discover how the right tools can eliminate the need for a full DevOps team.
Thank you, Displace.
Hey, we got it in time for once.
Yeah, just about. almost there. We're getting there. I don't know. This obviously, we're not going to be able to show this on the screen, but you should head over to Discord and see Sarah's little comment. Yes. we can't put that one on the screen. Not because it's not allowed. It just won't cross. The format won't work.
So basically, for anybody listening, she's shown in Java, you have code. She's shown in JavaScript, you have code, and in PHP, you just write "Hello World." That's why PHP doesn't have a starter.
There you go.
So, on the back of our last call, we at PHP Architect, I mean specifically me, wrote an article that we've actually made free today, which was based on our last call with you. So we called it the Executive Director's Manifesto. And anybody that wants to read that completely free on our website, phpa.me/2026-04-Elizabeth.
And I also believe, if I'm not mistaken, anyone that attends tech in a couple of weeks will also get a print copy of that episode.
I think you may be right.
Nice.
I'm probably going to get shouted at in a second if I'm wrong anyway.
I'm also...
One of the bosses will come into the chat and shout at me.
I'm also sort of hearing rumors that you might be there yourself.
I am going to be there. I cannot wait. I'm so excited. It'll be my first PHP conference in quite a while. At the next break, I will go grab something I meant to grab before we started and just ask you all if I should bring them with me. So when we break again, I will go grab something. But I don't think I've been to a PHP conference. I think Tech was the last one I went to in 2014, maybe 2014. I don't know. I found an old Flickr photo. If you go to Flickr, there's like really old photos of PHP community members that are, we're all a lot younger and a little more energetic probably at that time. But I found a picture of me from 2009 at a Tech, and I had a t-shirt and this jacket on, which I still have. I still have those things. So I think that I need to get some help. I think that's a problem. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's not, maybe it's fine. But like, why do I still have these? I don't know.
I know, I'm sure my wife's got quite a few things in her wardrobe that, but yeah, bring stuff along. Anything like that is pretty cool to see. So yeah, I'd just say, bring it along.
Okay. It'll be a surprise.
It has been confirmed, everyone, that if you do attend Tech, you will get a free copy of this month's edition of PHP Architect, which has Elizabeth's face on the front.
It does.
We don't normally put people on the front cover, so you feel honoured. It's nice.
I do. Yes,
we do. We don't do that.
So I've also got away with a typo because Sarah thinks it was an American that wrote it.
Aha.
And that's only because I replied as the host, which is Eric. So it's all Eric's fault.
There you go. All the U's were removed.
So it was written by an American.
Yes. Basically, I missed the apostrophe in the title of the article that I wrote.
I know. It's fine.
Tiffany has also shared the link to her checklist for newcomers.
That's excellent. Well.
Thanks for that.
Yes, excellent.
Thank you.
We'll have to check that one out.
It sounds like we may even have to invite Tiffany on if she's up for it.
Yes, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, definitely. We can find a week that we can squeeze in somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah. So one of the other things that we wanted to talk to you about was the sneaky little notice of the PHP survey, which is looking to be amazing.
Yeah. So we are doing it in partnership with PHP Storm folks at JetBrains. And so we're really trying to together create a set of just some data that everybody can use for whatever purpose they need to do their own analysis of things, whatever that looks like. And I think the JetBrains folks will probably do an analysis. The foundation folks, we might do our own analysis on various pieces of the data. But they also, we also want to together create a community-based survey. So right now, I think today is the last day you can go to some link somewhere, which I can find for you, where you can suggest your own questions, something that would be intriguing for you or interesting to you personally to just have more data about, have more insight into.
Cool.
We have got that link somewhere.
Yes, I think that's why we went quiet, because we're both trying to find the link, because we've got it, but we've not got it ready.
I should have had it ready, but I don't. I'm not ready, ever.
There we go. No, wrong one. I've somehow managed to link to an internal Slack message. There we go. It's that one.
Hey, there it is. Yeah. So you can go. You can also comment on other questions. So if you want to, just if you have something to add to a question that's already out there, you can comment. But today is the last day for that. And then the survey itself then will go out, I believe, early June is the goal for that. So once that comes out, then we'll be doing another round of, hey, come take this. Everybody come take this. Because we want to know.
Yeah.
Which we have had something posted from Eric.
We have.
No, that's the wrong thing. Fletcher's, why you not let me show? There you go. No, you're not going to let me. It's not going to let me show it. Share it.
Oh, no.
What is it?
I'm trying to share a photo that Eric has just put a link to on Flickr, but for some reason...
Oh, there's so many embarrassing ones out there on Flickr from previous PHP conferences. I blame Ben Ramsey, mostly, is who I blame.
We all blame Ben Ramsey.
he's the bottom of all the dirty deeds and what's going on. Oh, dear.
Do you guys want to hear a funny story about the first time I met Ben?
Always.
Yeah, go on. Let's hear it.
Okay, so we, there was the IRC, right? Like back in the day, PHPC, IRC. And so a lot of us knew each other just from that. So, but we'd never met in person, of course. So we had decided that we were going to host a tiny, tiny conference in the Gatlinburg, North Carolina area. So we called it PHP Appalachia. Not many of us at that very first one, like maybe 12 people from like the IRC channel. We all just went, we found a campsite with cabins and everything that had Wi-Fi, and it had like a little presentation place. And so in the like lodge or whatever. So we were like, yes, let's just go do this. We'll have some talks. We'll sit around the campfire and we will just chit chat with each other. And so I get there and I'm all excited. And Ben had a cabin, I had a cabin, like we all had our own individual cabins and everything. So I knock on his door because I'm all excited. And he opens the door and I just like hug the poor man because I'm just so happy to like meet him in person, completely invading his personal space. His face was like, oh my God, who is this crazy woman at my door? What is happening right now? Because I didn't tell him it was me. I was just like, oh my God, it's Ben. Yes. So yeah, he, I think I traumatized poor Ben from then on. He is, but weirdly, he still is my friend. So I'm really happy about that. I'm really happy about that. But that was great. That was, I see a link to the 2008 one. I think the very, very first one was 2006 is when we did that. So yeah, 20 years ago. That's wild, but. It was great. Like we just sat around the campfire and chatted about stuff. And we had that like Wi-Fi in the lodge area and people gave talks. And I think, I'm trying to think of who all was there. I think I'm still friends with every single one of those people. So the power of just in-person crazy meetups is a thing. Yeah. And I'm glad he didn't like get upset at me for invading his personal space immediately from the get-go. Boundaries. I didn't have them, but I'm better now. I'm better now about that. But yeah, poor Ben. I don't think he's ever the same.
So that's a meetup that was 20 years ago, which is again testament to just the power of PHP. Sarah says Appalachia 2008 was the best.
That was so that we did it again. We just did it a little bit bigger. So there was maybe, I don't know, 20 people in that. Sarah, I don't remember. But we rented a big cabin, one big giant cabin in Gatlinburg, Tennessee with like just different bedrooms. But it slept like, I don't know, 30 people in this one gigantic rural cabin in the middle of nowhere. And yeah, that was fun. Sarah was there. It was great.
So a rural cabin in the middle of nowhere in Appalachia. How many Bigfoot sightings were there?
We didn't have any that I remember, but I don't remember some things of that. We'll just say there might be some drinking involved. I don't know. You didn't hear that from me. I'm professional now. But yeah. It was very fun. It was very, very fun. It'll be in color next for shame. Uh-oh.
Right. Sarah says 2008 was Toxic Tub, and we don't speak of Toxic Tub. So now it sounds like we're going to...
Yeah, that sounds interesting. We're going to have to ask now. So, Sarah, you brought it up.
Well, there were just hijinks. There were hijinks everywhere. And there was the hot tub there that, I mean, I don't know if that thing had ever been actually cleaned out. I don't, it wasn't good. But, you know, we used it anyway. It was fine.
What?
What's that, poor cow? Sarah almost set the house on fire. What? Fire department came. Oh yeah, good times.
I have many questions about this conference.
Oh my god, yeah, it was a little out of control. It was very fun though, and we all knew each other already, I believe. Oh, you know what? I take that back. Jeff, what's his last name? Someone help me. There's a gentleman named Jeff, and he was younger than the rest of us. So he had seen the conference. He signed up for it. He didn't know us very well. And I felt really bad for this, for this poor guy, because we're all just, you know, animated and I don't know. What's the word? Wild. I don't know. I don't know what the right word is, but we're a lot. Let's just say that. We're a lot to take in a small setting like that. And oh, bless him. He showed up and we're all just kind of doing our thing. And he was, again, like, what have I got myself into? Who are these crazy people? What is happening right now? What is happening? I don't know. And I think his mom and dad or mom and family came at one point just to like see if he was doing okay. So we were like, we're taking good care of Jeff. It's all right. We got it. And I think all of them were just like, I don't know what this thing is, but okay. Sounds good. So yeah, it was fun. And yes, Sarah did almost burn down the cabin with bacon, you know, as it happens.
Like you do.
I do take blame, some of that blame, because she was making bacon in the kitchen. Sorry, we have gone down a journey that I don't know that y'all want to go down, but we can keep going if you like. I will finish the bacon story and then we can move on if you want, because yeah, people are going to make judgments about us, I feel like. But she was cooking bacon and, you know, bacon is greasy. And so there was a lot of smoke and the fire alarm thing went off. And I was trying to shut it off, and instead I think I hit the distress button. Like, instead of telling them it's okay, I told them to like come immediately, which was my fault. So yeah, the fire trucks came and we had to explain away the bacon grease. And yeah, it was a little embarrassing, but it was, you know, made for a good story. 20 years later, it's hilarious. At the time, it was hilarious, actually. So yeah, don't trust me to be the cool head in the group, because I'm just pushing buttons randomly to get it to shut off. And I actually ended up bringing them quicker than they would have come anyway.
So based on Sarah's comment of the fact that she's a very quiet, shy, delicate flower, and she'll fight anybody if they say that she's not, I think we should now just put all of our trust in Sarah for being shy and retiring.
I agree. Yes. She is a quiet, shy, delicate flower. I promise.
Joe says we just have the next one catered. Yes.
I feel like that's a much better answer. Yes. A much better approach than just having us cook random things.
Right.
Yeah, I think it was my fault. So yeah, I will go apologize to the firemen. Yeah. Which, so you know, I mean, if someone has to do it, I guess I'll be the person.
So for the benefit of our audio listeners, Sarah says, I don't remember that being your fault. I do remember us sending you outside to apologize to the hot firemen because you always send the cute blonde.
Oh my gosh. Oh, such hijinks. But the greatest thing was about this whole thing, and I really did have a point in bringing all this up, is that, you know, you can just do things, right? Like, you can just decide to have a get together, to make friends. You can, you know, there wasn't anybody that was in charge. We just kind of came together and made it happen. And that's the part I love about community, is that you can just do stuff and you can just make things happen. And the friendships too, that, you know, I mean, that is absolutely the most valuable thing to me personally, are the friendships that I have acquired over the years. I mean, I've clearly 20 years ago, we're still laughing about it. So yeah, I mean, good stuff.
Right.
Sorry, I'm just checking something else that's going on in my house.
I'm just reading that comment and I'm confused.
Which comment? OFFS.
Yes, OFFS.
He's been telling us a story the whole evening about something to do with his school disco and someone pulling out a razor blade, but he's
something in Glasgow. About Claude and...
Glasgow, that's just normal in Glasgow, I think.
Yeah. And he's now telling us about Claude telling him that he had a special dream and it was glad to help. Right. Mm-hmm. So either AI has just become conscious or I really don't understand that message.
I think both are plausible.
Both at this point, possibly.
Sarah's done the announced that the usual, if there's no user group, it's you. Yes.
Very much so.
It's either that, if it's not you, it just doesn't exist.
In the UK, if there's no user group, you just find the people that set up all of the user groups.
Yeah, and ask them to set one up.
You just do that thing. And well, to that point though, like, that's something I feel like the foundation can help with, is can we give resources to people who want to set one up? You know, here's some guidelines. And I think these things have already been written, but just helping, you know, bring visibility to those things. Like, let's get your user group more visibility. Like, get all the user groups more visibility. Mm. I think the PHP.net site now, the user group part of it still lists like ones that are no longer active and haven't been active for a while, but there's no way to remove your group. I was looking at this with Andreas, like, how do we update this? How do we, you know, make this an actual usable resource? And you can't actually remove anything. So it just keeps collecting. So definitely needs some work there. Needs a little bit of an overhaul. And maybe that's something that, you know, the foundation can help with. I don't know what that looks like, but I would like to help, because I think that is really something that is super important to the fabric of the community, are these user group meetups. And I know that they're struggling since COVID, but I think there is a wave coming through again of people wanting to come back and meet with each other in person, because there really is no replacement.
Yeah, I'm starting to see more and more sort of popping up. Although I think the most recent ones, they're mainly sort of Laravel focus. I haven't seen any PHP ones, and there isn't any in our area. And before you say it, Sarah, I know, but I've got some other things to deal with. I still got to finish off my degree first. I haven't got time to run the user group, but maybe if no one else picks it up by the time I finish, I might do it. We'll see.
So yeah. One of the things I like about the user groups as well is that you can actually get conference level speakers at a user group, and that happens regularly. I mean, daft example, I'm speaking at 2 in June, and it's why we go and speak at meetups, because people want to hear what we have to say. And I'm speaking at Thames PHP on the 10th and to PHP Sussex on the 24th of June. And it literally comes from, are you free to speak? Yes. That's the extent of the conversation. And that happens so many times with different speakers. I mean, Jim's forever speaking at things, Jim Second. And I know the same happens in America, of some of the conference speakers from the States who are always talking at meetups.
Yeah, and I think that's such a good on-ramp for new speakers too, because the obviously the venue's smaller, the group is smaller, it's a little more intimate, it's a little less pressure to do a perfect job. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, those coming back also have that benefit of helping new speakers, helping new voices come into the fray. So yeah, I'm a huge fan of the user groups.
Another format to bring in some new speakers, it's just something that me and Chris are working on, is actually doing a joint talk.
Yeah.
We're putting together to then. So if anyone out there in the UK is looking for speakers, that's unfortunately we do live far. I mean, it's what, about an hour drive away from each other.
For the UK, we live a long way away.
Yes.
For America, we live on a bus ride.
Nothing. Yeah. That's nothing.
Yeah, yeah. I was trying to think of the words, because I know most of our US listeners will say exactly that. It's like that's just like a normal commute every day. It's like,
yeah.
In the UK, it's not. mean,
America think nothing of going on a 7-state drive.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I considered driving to Chicago. It's for tech. It's about a 5-hour drive, and I did consider it, but I'm also I'm old and tired, and so I'll just grab a quick flight. But yeah, you're right. Like, we will just hop in the car and go wherever we need to go, I guess.
Yeah. So going back on the conversation about speakers, is if you want to get into speaking, you know someone that's already a veteran speaker, then maybe you can come up with something that you can do together. I'm not going to say what our subject is because I don't want anyone stealing it.
No,
but we've come up with a really, it's actually based on a talk that Chris has given before that I've seen, and I said, wouldn't it be cool if we did it together, and slightly change the format. So we're hopefully going to get that out and get me out speaking, which is part of my sort of my next steps of trying to get out of my comfort zone, my social anxiety, trying to fight that as much as possible.
So, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm really proud of you. That's awesome.
Well, this shows the first step for me.
Right. I mean, this is not like, this is huge that you're doing this. And I think like a conference talk is, I was going to say it's maybe less anxious ridden, but that could be wrong.
It's not, because I'm looking at a screen with two other people. And to me, I'm having a conversation with 12 people. If I'm standing up at a conference or a user group, I'm standing in front of what, let's say, anywhere between 20 to hundreds of people.
Yeah.
And that is scary for someone that has sort of stage fright and anxiety. And I know someone's going to say in the chat that everyone has those sorts of fears. I think it's right. There is... I do know that the number one fear of the human race is being watched by other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is well documented. It's just some people, it's almost cripples them. And I'm not saying I've got the worst social anxiety, because I can cope with people talking to me, and then that's it. I can talk. That ice is then broken. Chris can attest to that. When we first met at Tech last year, once he started talking to me, I was fine. It's no problem, and we talk quite regularly ever since. And then he became a colleague, obviously. But there are other people. I mean, I put this just to give you a bit of an idea. I play the drums in a band, and just before Christmas, I turned up to the venue. Now, I've got the most equipment out of anyone in the band, so I always turn up at venues first. Normally it's not a problem, but this was a venue that we'd only been to once, and for some reason I couldn't get out of my car and go into the venue until one of the other band members arrived and we could go walking together. Mm-hmm. But because they were turning, it was getting later and later and later, I think I'm never going to get set up in time. I was just crippled and sort of just sat in the car waiting. I couldn't get out of my car. That's probably the worst I've had it. Sorry, you can probably hear my dogs barking in the background. Because my stepdaughter's just got home. So I do apologize if you can hear them. So that is where where how I deal with have issues with my social anxiety. And you, even if we've talked like this, and this is kind of more recent has happened. We've had Sarah on the show twice, and we've had long conversations. We've had laughs and jokes. But when I saw her at PHP Tech, I couldn't talk to her. I went to watch her speak. I was in the front row. At the end of it, wanted to go up and say hello. I couldn't do it. And this is someone I have spoken to. So anyone that we've interviewed on the show, if you're at Tech, including yourself, Elizabeth, I might not be able to approach you, and I might need you to come to me first. So that's that's getting into my head and my anxiety of where it is. And then now trying to stand up in front of people to talk about stuff, you can kind of start to see where it's not just stage fright. There is more to it. And what I do not want is to agree to do a talk and just be so crippled that I could not get up in front of people.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to build it slowly. So I can get to that stage. Because I like the idea of it. I like the idea, as you say, everyone wants to pass on their knowledge in this community, and I want to do that as well. My knowledge is slightly different to what Chris's is. I'm still quite fresh faced in the community, so I still kind of I have vivid memories of what it's like to learn and how to get into the industry, whereas other people are longer in the tooth and they're more senior. Those things they don't remember. And I see a gap in the market for speakers to help those people trying to get into the industry or have just got into the industry, and how to interact, how to the word has gone out of my head now, how to network. That's the word I'm thinking of. I see it, but I've got a bit of a long way personally to go to be able to get up in front of those crowds. So that's why I'm trying to team up with Chris and do something together. So if I do freeze, Chris is there to pick up the ball and keep it going. And then I'll feel comfortable. I know if Chris starts off the talk and we start with a laugh and we start bouncing off each other like we do on the show, I know it will be fine. And I'll just start flowing. I'll forget that there's people watching, and it'll be like having like this show. So this show is obviously the first step. So
I think that's a really great. Yeah.
I think one of the other areas that helps as well is like the online meetups and the online conferences. Like one of the ones that I've also spoken at, Urge PHP, that's an absolutely brilliant way of getting to the next step, going from I'm comfortable enough to talk to one or two people to I'm comfortable enough to present my information to lots of people but not see them all.
Yeah.
And Merge PHP is actually only in a couple of weeks' time on the 14th of May, and it happens to be Andy Snell talking on more than just a cache database, data structured databases, which sounds like a sort of thing I want to learn about.
Awesome. Yeah, I totally agree. And I mean, I've been giving talks for a long time, and I still have that. I think everybody does. But yeah, to your point, Mike, I don't have it quite to that degree. Mm. So I hope this doesn't sound condescending, because it's not meant to, but I am so proud of you for just trying, you know, just getting out there and trying and pushing through that discomfort is really hard. That is a really hard thing to do. So good for you. And I feel like too, the audience, they want you to do well. Like they're on your side. They want it. They're, you know, they're rooting for you. So just keep that in mind. Like they want you to do well. They're not judging you. They're not going to be, you know, giving you a hard time.
Yeah,
at least in the PHP community.
Everyone tells me that, and I talk to loads of people, and everyone kind of says the same thing. But unfortunately, that it doesn't help for
it doesn't
with the anxiety.
Yeah,
you try and think about that. You try and think, oh, they're all these people, they're friendly faces, they want you to succeed, but it's still standing up in front of a large number of people. Even if it's sort of 10, 15 people would freak me out. I'll tell you a little bit of a little story which might help you a little bit in sort of understanding sort of where it comes from, and I don't know if anyone else can relate to this. When my dad remarried, I was his best man, and the thought of having to do a best man speech absolutely terrified me. Terrified me. I did do a speech. I have absolutely no idea what I said. I don't remember
it. Kind of blacked out.
Any of it. I don't remember. I remember standing up and all my and feeling really faint about it. Mm. And then sitting down with everyone laughing. I still to the, I mean, people tell me I was funny and they weren't laughing at me. They were laughing with me. So, okay. I do remember the thoughts in my head of what I wanted to say, but I don't actually remember saying it. Another one example, I got married almost 5 years ago now. It'll be our 5 year anniversary this year. And my wife was very insistent that I had to do the groom's speech. And I sat there, I was eating my food, got to the pudding, and I just looked at him and went, I can't eat this. That's just going to come straight back up. And I started to really feel sick. And the MC of the day was absolutely, the guy that worked at the venue was absolutely amazing and spotted it straight away and walked over and said, take a deep breath. I'll take your pudding, put it in the kitchen. You can have it later, but just breathe. Here's some water and put a jug of water in front of me and then just walked off. Like, and I could feel the anxiety just building and building and building and building. And again, I remember a bit more about what I said in that speech, but it was just almost, I think sometimes you have to be pushed to know I cannot back out of this.
Yeah.
There's no way out of this. I can't back out.
Yeah.
And then to do it, but it still doesn't help the next time. For some reason, it doesn't. I'm not finding it getting easier. Maybe it's I'm not doing it regularly enough. So, as I say, this is one of the tactics I'm using to try and get over that. One is to start the show where I'm literally just looking at two other faces on the screen. I know there are people watching and listening to what I'm saying, and but it's because I can't see them, out of sight, out of mind, kind of.
Yeah.
Thought. The next step is try and do something with Chris as a duo, and hopefully I can find my groove that way, and then start finding some subjects to talk about on my own. But that's the tactics I'm going with, if you keep watching the show, you'll find out how it works out.
Yeah, we want to hear the regular updates on this.
Yeah. So I'll just catch up on what's going on in the chat.
So Eric's going to be bullying you and saying that he's not on your side and will be making fun of you until you cry. And Joe says that he blacks out and doesn't remember what he said during our team meetings. But that sounds about right.
I mean, yeah, meetings as well. I mean, one of the clients we worked for, but I went onto the meetings for the first time and all these just popping up, all these people just popping up. And that freaked me out. It actually took Eric to send me a note and say, you need to say something soon. Because I'm just like, there's too many people here. And yes, Eric is a bully. And unfortunately, I can't complain to HR because he is HR. but I'll find some way to get him back. I'll think of something.
Yeah, you're gonna have
I don't cry easily though. I will probably just storm off and tell you to where to go and just leave. go and sit in my room or something.
Sounds like a reasonable approach. I mean, talking of speaking, there was a conference a while back, and I wish I could remember who it was talking. He's one of these people that speaks everywhere, and it wasn't even a tech conference. He was just a keynote speaker at something else. And his entire talk was on the fear he has getting up to talk. The conference was 20-odd thousand people. He's there telling people that he gets scared talking to people with 20,000 of them in front of him.
And I imagine everyone in the audience is just nodding along, like, yeah, I get it. It's terrible.
This is an interesting someone that's going around talking like everything he can get to.
Yeah, Shane.
Yeah.
Native PHP. He suffers horribly from the same severity of stage fright. Mm-hmm. It's completely crippling. And it is. When I first started, I didn't want to do it. It's one of those things that nobody actually wants to do. You don't want to get up in front of people and tell people things.
No. And it seems it's one of those also that it's like, it seems like a good idea at the time. Like when the CFP is open, you're like, oh yeah, maybe I'll submit something. I don't know if I'll get chosen or not, but yeah, that's fine. You know, and then it gets selected and you're like, okay, well, okay, cool. Awesome. And then it's like that 2 minutes before you go out there. You're just like, why did I do this to myself? What am I doing? Why did I think this was going to be good?
See,
to your point, you get talking and you get, you know, then you start to kind of relax a little because you're getting excited about what you're talking about and you kind of forget. At least I do, but it takes a while to get to that point. It's like, okay, it's all right. No one's coming at me with actual swords and, you know, dragons and things. Like, my nervous system can calm down. It's not an actual physical threat. It's okay.
So Shane says that what works for him is to take weeks and months memorizing the talk, and preparation is the best improvisation. I mean, yeah, that is one aspect that works for some people, and I go completely the opposite direction. I don't prepare. I just have a rough idea of where the topic's going and then talk about it.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. I was thinking the same sort of thing. I do have a talk that I will have in the back pocket in case I'm called upon at tech, because if anything happens and the slot opens, I'm trying to. I haven't done any slides or anything like that, so it might be just me standing on the stage talking. But again, I'm not. It's interesting because I've also found something recently. I've started reading a lot more. This is to do with my dyslexia. I'm trying to push through that barrier of getting away, of stop avoiding reading. But as a result of reading, I've got really into sort of fantasy books. I've started writing one as well, because I had this just woke up in the middle of the night with this idea for a story, and I started writing it. And I definitely have found with that side of things, I'm not planning it. I'm just writing it, and I'm discovering it as I go. And I can kind of imagine a talk that I do the same. I wouldn't script it. I would have bullet points of where I know where I've got to go, and have those as like the slides, for example. But I don't think I'd script every single word, because I think my then fear would be that I'd forget what I'm saying. I'd stumble over my words. Whereas if I could just speak freely as the words come to my mind, I think I'd be more comfortable. But I don't know until I try, honestly. I mean, the idea that me and Chris have got is probably going to be exactly like that. There's not going to be a script, and there's going to be a lot more interaction and getting people to ask us questions about different things.
There literally can't be a script for the one that we're planning.
No. And right. it is basically us bouncing off each other, just talking to the audience and asking for their input or their questions, if anyone wants to ask either of us questions and things like that. So it's a lot more improvisation. I think that's probably where I'd feel a little bit more comfortable, which is surprising, because whenever I ever did any sort of drama or anything like that, I had to know exactly what I was doing, what the words were I was saying at all times, because I was too scared to improvise. But I think as I've grown, I think I'd be more comfortable with that. It's an interesting thought there, Shane, about the preparation.
Shane, I'm with you. I have to know exactly what I want to say. I don't like write it out, but I do practice over and over again. And I have the timing exactly down so that I come out at the end exactly where I want. And my slides are typically a little bit more word heavy. The talks I've given where the slides have been just a visual, whatever, like a picture, I've not done as well. And so I do tend to be a little bit more, not super verbose on a slide, because there's like, that's also problematic. But I just like to have that more of a reminder of, oh yeah, these are my points that I'm making. So yeah, I'm with you, Shane. I have to practice. I have to like at least feel like I'm ready, because otherwise that will be the thing, is that I didn't practice enough. And that will be the thing that I grab onto.
That's interesting about the slides, because one of the big bits of advice I once heard was that you shouldn't put too much on your slides, because then people are spending too much reading the slides than looking at you and listening to what you're saying, because they're just reading the slides now, which is an interesting where the line is, where's the middle ground between those two. How do you know? And that's one of the things I'm really stuck at. I'm literally looking at an empty slideshow for this talk. I know what I'm going to say, but I don't even know where to start. I've never made a slideshow ever. I have no idea what I'm doing. I've never And not only that, I'm going to have to use a different, because I use Linux on my work laptop, I'm going to have to use whatever thing I can find that will work on Linux, and hope it works when I get to get to Chicago, if I am called on to do the talk. If not, I'm doing it without slides, and I'll just turn the projector off.
But there is actually now slide systems that can be written in code, and I'll send you a couple of them, but you can literally write it in code, and it will do the slides for you.
Yeah, I will admit, I have asked Claude to give me an outline of the script, of a sort of a script of what to say. Don't like any of it. It's like, no, that is not the point I'm trying to get across. So that's not quite worked very well. I haven't tried any of the other AIs yet, but Claude just like went, no, that's not really where I'm going with this. This isn't quite right.
See, you didn't put make no mistakes at the end. That's where you went wrong.
That's it. That's what I've been doing this whole time. Make sure it's right.
Yeah, okay. Check your own work before you tell me what it is. Yeah, okay. Right, I don't want to keep you too long like we did last time, because I start getting shouted at by the boss. And so, is anyone out there got any more questions for Elizabeth? Now, obviously, we've got a bit of delay. So
whilst we have that delay, I do have one more question. Mm-hmm. A few months ago, the foundation was recruiting for another developer. Was that role ever filled?
It was not. We decided to just wait on things because things were so tumultuous. And I wanted to make sure that whoever will be coming in next, like, we have everything settled and all the contracts, like, everything is settled. So right now, you'll see on those slides, if you go to the slides that I shared earlier, there are some foundation, like, housekeeping things that we need to clean up first, which is mostly around, like, coordinating with the developers that are currently being paid, because a lot of them are working in silos. So we want to just kind of strengthen the collaboration across the team. And, you know, it's by design, they are working in silos, but also we need them to come together more. So we're working on that. We're working on, like, how we share what we're working on with the broader community, because nobody knows what we do. And if you go to the foundation website, it really actually doesn't say what we do. It just says we work on like PHP maintenance and the core, like something very generic. Mm-hmm. So we would like to expand on that and share that kind of stuff first. With everyone. So yeah, there are a few things that we want to just kind of strengthen and really, really solidify across the foundation. We will probably be, I would say our plan right now is to still open those applications up in the fall again, like we have done in the past. So I don't see any reason why we would not do that right now anyway. But as for the last fall, we kind of just put everything on hold for now because of that. And the transition, you know, me coming in and just trying to kind of get myself settled, like, it felt a little, shifting sands to also bring in someone new when I don't know where everything is still. Like, I'm now kind of starting to get a better picture about where everything is and how things work. So that's kind of where we landed. That's a good question, though. Okay. Yeah.
I think we might have touched on this before, but one question I had was, is there any thought about allocating some of the funds to people like maybe like content creators to create some specific type of learning materials or help get like sponsor some user groups to help them get off the ground? Is there anything like that might be on the cards?
Yes, I think that would be amazing. I think the first step before we get into kind of like the education piece, mm-hmm. we are going to be opening up our blog to have more guest bloggers coming in. I have one in the works around, I don't want to spoil it, but because I hope that he still wants to do it. I think he still wants to do it, but I better not say anything just in case he changes his mind. But it'll be super interesting and timely, and you'll understand why. But I'm so sorry. I hate to do that. Be like, I can't tell you. But yeah, I think that is in our plan, is to at least start there. And then mm-hmm. from there, like what is next? Like what, because I know that we've talked to a few people about, I've talked to a few people about the kind of learning resources that they are creating. Mm-hmm. How can we, like, I've talked to Anna, I've talked to, he goes by Steve King. I think it's yep. Steve King.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I've talked to him. I've talked to a few others, who have a few other resources around. So I've talked to a lot of people, and now I have to kind of figure out what would be the best way to, for the foundation to facilitate this thing. Cause I don't want to also compete with other efforts that are happening. Like, that's not great either. So I would rather, if there is something that we can do to either coordinate with everybody or bring visibility and amplify what's already being done, I think that would be great too. And then wherever there are gaps, then okay, can the foundation fill in these gaps that we've, you know, of the resources that are needed, that we've identified that are ones that are needed, what are we missing? What can we fill in? Mm-hmm. So to your point, yes-ish. So that's kind of my approach. That's kind of my thinking right now. But yeah, that's going to take a little bit more thought, I think.
So watch this space.
Yeah, watch this space.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Well, I think there hasn't been any more questions come through, so I think this is a good point to finish up. So thank you very much for joining us again. We definitely need to get you. I'd like to. It'd be really great if we could do something regular like this.
I would love that. I would absolutely. Yes, please. That would be amazing. I would love that. You guys are great.
Well, thank you. We'll keep chatting, and we'll try and get something in the calendar to do something regular every so often. Awesome. But yeah, thank you very much for giving us your time today. It's been really interesting to see how your interactions have gone, and what are the things that you've picked up from the rest of the community. Look forward to seeing part two of your blog, and see what things are coming out, and this guest blogger. This will be interesting.
Yeah. We have some really good, exciting ideas coming out. And I think one of our goals too is to really involve the community and bring people in. So there's going to be lots of opportunities for contributions, and just really, I'm excited about it. So, and I hope that the listeners have learned that if you do cook bacon, make sure that your windows are open, because otherwise it's, hijinks will ensue after the fact, you know, and that is thanks to Sarah. Sarah taught me that lesson a long time ago, 20 years ago. Yep. And I've never forgotten it, honestly. I'm a vegetarian, but I do cook bacon occasionally for my family, and I always open the windows, and it's all because of Sarah. So,
that's the impact Sarah has had on your life.
That's more learning. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much again, and thank you very much for anyone that's tuned in live. If you're listening to this after the fact, don't forget to like and subscribe on our YouTube channel. Words are still escaping me. And also come over to our Discord. We are there all week. There are some great people in our Discord. Sorry, for listeners wondering why I've just completely stopped in my tracks, is because Sarah's just posted in the chat just to say I helped. You did, Sarah.
Indeed. By the sounds of it.
Head over to our Discord channel. Come and join us. There are some amazing people in there. Elizabeth is in there. We have people like Sarah, who is a core contributor to PHP. We've got package maintainers in there, and just general PHP developers. There are plenty of people to talk to, and if you're looking for somewhere to get resources or help or advice, we also have a channel in there for asking questions and or advice from or the host of knowledge that's in there. So do come over and say hi. I haven't got my script up, so I'm going to rely on Chris to bring up the links and everything on the screen in the right order so I can remember. I stupidly closed my script earlier. Don't forget to head over to our store. That is store.phparch.com, and check out the t-shirts and other merch available there. And They're literally just flashing up. I cannot talk fast enough. If you're listening to the audio version, you now need to go and watch us on YouTube to see why I'm just cannot get this outro sorted. PHP Tech is only just around the corner, a couple of weeks away. Don't forget to get your tickets. It'll be really great to see you. The conference, and don't forget we've also got JS Tech running alongside this year. First attempt of mixing JS developers and PHP developers. Let's see what happens. And then to the discount. Now we can talk about the magazine discount. Alive 3 will give you the first 3 months of an annual digital subscription. I have to remember to say the digital subscription. That's everything, isn't it? That's everything, all done and dusted, all the things done.
But oh, so sad. Ticked.
Yes, I know. We could carry on for another hour, probably, but I think it would be better. We just bring you on for another episode.
Yeah,
excellent. Yes, please.
I think we have to give Tiffany the last word so that we can make sure that Eric makes this happen. We need a channel for cat pictures in our Discord.
Yes.
I think Joe would agree with that one as well.
Yep. So Eric, please. we need a Discord cats channel.
I think it should be pets channel.
No, different one for dogs. We can't have cats and dogs in the same place. They don't like each other.
That's fair.
All right. Well, on that note,
the guinea pigs are going to need a channel as well.
So. Yes, yeah. Right, so we need a channel for every type of pet.
Just a whole other Discord for PHP pets.
PHP pets. PHP yes. pets. Yeah. Could work. Right, on that note, thank you very much, everyone. Thank you, Elizabeth. And we'll see you next time.
Yay.